bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio. For our friends from Ireland, top of the morning to you. Our friends from Mexico and all of our Spanish-speaking countries, buenos dias y gracias a Dios, thanks be to God. To our Italian listeners, buongiorno. And to our friends in the Ukraine and Eastern Europe, dobre utra. So good morning once again, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. We are here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. We're an affiliate station of EWTN, the Eternal Word Television Network. And today we remember Mother Angelica, who passed away 5 years ago, and all of the wonderful work that she did at the Eternal Word Television Network in Birmingham, Alabama, and Hansville, Alabama. And we just thank Mother for all that she did, and having had the opportunity to meet her. It truly is a privilege and a pleasure to be here on the air at an affiliate station. And may God bless you, my friends, for listening to our audience. And please keep her in prayer and all of the sisters in Hansville, Alabama. I want to take a moment also to thank our founders, Dale and Jane Meyer, and all the good work they do here. As you know, we celebrated our 22nd anniversary recently on the Feast of St. Joseph's Day. And also to Frank Eliason and his wife Carolyn and their family for all of the great work they do producing our shows here on the local level. And as we begin our program, my friends, I want to thank everyone for listening, and also want to talk to you a little bit about the name of our show, Finding God in Prison. You know, my friends, there are no coincidences in my life. They are all God incidences. Since I made the decision to walk away from corporate America more than 22 years ago, God has led the way. He had truly led me on a path that's unique. And he has opened doors that no man can close, and he has closed doors that no man can open. And this comes from the book of Revelations. Today, many people are looking for something, maybe to fill a void that cannot be filled. They're trying to find something, but they don't even know what it is. Is that you out there? I know it was me several decades ago, but God has truly changed my life. Today's show is dedicated to all of the non-believers who are out there today, who are atheists or agnostics, and who don't know the love of God, who are unfamiliar with Jesus and God our Father. To all the men and women who don't know what it is to feel God's grace working in their lives. This show is dedicated to all those who are insulted because someone says God bless you when you sneeze, or they're offended when someone offers a blessing at the dinner table. To all of the people who are missing the Lord and who don't even know it. Yes, today's show, my friends, is dedicated to all of the non-believers in our world today. And you know what I'm talking about. Before we go any further, I want to share with you some definitions of the word atheist and agnostic. An atheist is a person who disbelieves or lacks belief in the existence of God. An agnostic is a person who believes that nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God, or of anything beyond material phenomena, material things. A person who claims neither faith nor disbelief in God. My friends, where would we be today if we had no faith? Think about it. Where would you and I be if all we had were material things? Imagine how it feels to lose all of your possessions, your home, your car, your clothes and everything you have because of a hurricane, earthquake, tornado, a flood or fire. Where would you and I be if we lost it all? Today we remember the 14 tornadoes that struck Birmingham, Alabama and surrounding communities and all of the damage that was done just yesterday. We pray for those people there, for God to send others to help them to rebuild their lives, as many homes were destroyed. My brothers and sisters, some of us know that feeling, and yet we have strength to go on because of our faith in God. It's powerful. Some of us know that feeling because we have been there, because we've lived through a natural disaster or lost a loved one. And our faith gets us through these difficult times, these tough times. But how sad it is, my friends, for the people in the world who don't even know the love of God, the grace of God, and the blessing of obedience that comes from being obedient to God. Think about it. How fortunate we are to be in God's grace, to feel His presence in our lives, to be blessed in our family life, in our work, in our churches. How blessed we are to have God as a friend, like Abraham, who was noted to be a friend of God. That's all we can ask for, is to be in God's company. One day I was driving to Wilmington, Delaware, many years ago, in the 1990s, and going to work. And it was a 68-mile hike each way, about 1 hour and 15 minutes at a minimum. And one day I hired a new instructor pilot who lived within a few miles of my home, so we decided to carpool. While driving and in conversation with him, this gentleman sneezed, and I said, "God bless you." His next words to me were these, "I'm an atheist, and I don't believe in God." After that, it was quiet, and I was speechless. After a few minutes, I asked him a question about his family, and then he shared with me that he was married and had two girls. One day, I had the pleasure of meeting his wife and the children. On the next drive into work, while in conversation, I said to him, "You know, Dave, you really have a great family, and those kids are beautiful. God has truly blessed you." After that, he looked at me and was quiet. Then there seemed to be a sense of peace within the car as we drove to Delaware. My friends, what do you do when someone tells you they are an atheist or agnostic? What do you say? This is the world we're living in today. What are you prepared to do, and what are you prepared to do today, my friends? What are you going to say to the next person who has an aversion to God, who has a disbelief in God, who is offended by your prayer, your blessing at a meal, or when you say God bless you when he sneezes? Remember these words, my friends, from the Lord in the Gospel of Matthew. "Therefore, do not be afraid of them, for nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna." And this is a powerful reading. And it goes on to say this: "Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs on your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father." The word of the Lord. My friends, in this passage, the Lord tells us twice, do not be afraid, because God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? And he calls us to acknowledge him in all things, but to not deny him. Again, everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father. Many years ago, I was at a Thanksgiving dinner, and it was a combination of various family members and friends, and I offered to say a blessing at the meal, and I said that blessing, and you know, it was a beautiful blessing, and throughout the next 3 hours, there wasn't another word said by anyone with regard to our Lord and his Father. Not even the Blessed Mother was mentioned. And I felt very awkward, out of place. And I just tell you that because sometimes we're going to be in those positions. And the Lord is telling us, you know, again, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. He's calling us to step up to the plate and truly to be a voice for him, to be his arms and legs, his instrument, to be used to bring the message of the gospel to other people. It's so important. We know that people need it. And that's what we do here at Holy Spirit Radio for 22 years. We bring the message of the gospel through the Holy Spirit, who's working through us. So again, I promised myself in that dinner, I would never do it again. I felt awkward, uncomfortable, and like I was offending some people. And so, but after that, I promised that, you know, I would answer that call to always step up for the Lord and always bring the love of God to other people. And try not to miss opportunities that come along. And like a train that's going to station after station, that train of opportunities we see each and every day to bring the love of God to people, to bring the message of the gospel is right there. It can be in your home. It could be in your workplace, in your church. It can be on a sports field. It can be in your community. And God calls us to do it with great love, to not deny him, but to acknowledge him. And it's a powerful thing. It's a beautiful thing, not to be hidden away, but to let our light shine. And that's what God calls us. Again, speak in the light. He says, what I say to you in darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And that's the Holy Spirit who's working from within, calling us to be a voice for goodness, a voice for God in the midst of a world who is trying to remove God from everything. And we've seen it all. And today we're in a time when we are called to step up and to be encouraged because God is with us. And again, if God is with us, who can be against us? I want you to think about that. I want to tell you a little story, my friends. In a church not too long ago, where a priest was saying Mass, when he finished his homily, he began to say the Apostles' Creed. And as he began to say it, there was no response from the people in the pews. And he was taken back. He himself was somewhat, you know, offended and taken back that the people did not respond to the Apostles' Creed, something that was formed many years ago, almost 2,000 years ago. And it was formed to help us to believe in God, to believe in Jesus. And everything we recite within the creed, which is so important. But because the response was nil, the priest looked around at the deacon, at the acolyte, and He was truly amazed that the people did not respond. So today, we're going to take a moment to go through the Apostles' Creed as it should be said. So in case we get caught in that position, we will be better prepared for next time. So here it is, and please recite after me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The Apostles' Creed, my friends, is just filled with so many important things that we believe in as Catholics. And as Christians, we need to be prepared when we are called to pray that prayer versus being unprepared, which is really not a good thing. And I know from working in aviation, when you are unprepared for a flight test, it's going to be a bad result. It's going to be what we call an unsatisfactory. And there will be retraining and retesting for that captain who's responsible for people on that airplane. So we too need to be prepared for the prayers to be said in the Holy Mass. And God calls us to participate, to be in our church family as a participant and not sitting but and sleeping in the pew, but listening attentively and then participating and responding with great zeal and enthusiasm, great passion, as we believe in God the Father Almighty and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our God. This is important, my friends. The life, death, and resurrection of Christ is within the Apostles' Creed. And the creed that was formulated by the belief of the apostles who witnessed and walked with Christ is what they have given us over the years to help to formulate and develop our own faith. And it's important, and no question about it, it was led by the Holy Spirit who inspired them to create this valuable document that we recite at each and every Mass. But we need to get it straight, and we need to be prepared for the next Mass. I hope you will agree with me, my friends, because this is important. And as we talk about the response from the people, we're going to transition into the readings of the fifth week of Lent. And I want to start off with the book of Jeremiah, which is really important. The prophet Jeremiah, who says this, "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they need to teach my friends and kinsmen how to know the Lord. All from the least to the greatest shall know me, says the Lord. For I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. This is a powerful reading, my friends, because the Lord created a new covenant. And he says, I will put my law within them and write it upon their hearts. Remember, the old covenant was broken. The deal that was made was broken, okay? And the Lord is a finisher. He completes the job. He doesn't break the deal. He holds true to the faith. So he puts the law within us, in our hearts, so that no one has to even tell us about the Lord because it's within us. The Holy Spirit reveals it. It's very powerful. And he says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. What a beautiful thing. And all from the least to the greatest shall know me, says the Lord. It doesn't matter where you live, what kind of car you drive, what kind of home you live in, how much money you make, where you vacation. It doesn't matter. What matters is what the Lord says. From the least to the greatest shall know me, says the Lord. For I will forgive the evil doing and remember their sin no more. How much is that worth to you and I, my friends, that the Lord forgives us? Imagine if he didn't forgive us and we only had a single chance, maybe even a second chance. But the Lord calls us to forgive others many times. And he gives us that role model at the top of the cross when he says to his Father, after being crucified and crowned with thorns and beat to a pulp. And the Lord tells us this. And we reflect on that in the Holy Rosary and the Sorrowful Mysteries, which is so incredibly unique. And it's been with us for 800 years since it was given to Saint Dominic. The Rosary, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We relive through those beautiful moments that we take the time to get to know God, to get closer to God. If you want to get closer to the Lord, you must acknowledge what happened to him 2,000 years ago in the agony of the garden, where he reflects on what he's about to do and he sweats drops of blood. Not perspiration of water, but drops of blood, because he could see. His divine side could see that he would endure tremendous pain and suffering, but he did it for us, to save us from our sins. He did it to fulfill his Father's plan for salvation. Let's be clear. He did it for us. And my friends, again, the Lord says, for I will forgive the evil doing and remember their sin no more. Now think about this. People hold grudges, sometimes for years, but the Lord forgives. And the Word of God says, divine anger lasts only a moment, but divine favor lasts a lifetime. And that's the side of the equation that you and I want to be on. We want to be within the favor of God. Many years ago, I led a prayer group, and we had a woman in our prayer group who was estranged from her sister for more than 20 years. Imagine, her biological sister growing up together, but now, as senior citizens, they had not spoken for more than 20 years. No conversation, no phone calls, no letters, nothing. And one Christmas season, this woman was inspired to call her sister. But due to pride within her, she neglected to make that call. The next day came and she felt inspired once again. But due to that pride and ego within her, she did not pick up the phone. And she shared this with me. Finally, day after day, she felt that inspiration and thought it might be a calling from God to call her sister. So she picked up the phone and made the call and spent at least 45 minutes on the phone with her sister. It wasn't a great call, but it was okay. And they talked for a while, and then she hung up the phone. About 2 weeks later, her sister died. When she heard the news, she couldn't believe it. But God had given her a chance to make amends, to make things right, to bring the peace, because it's important. And the Lord says to forgive others. And if you don't forgive your brother or sister and make the peace, my Father in heaven will not forgive you. It's in the Word of God. It's in the gospel. How would you like to be in that situation? And we never know how much time we have to make the peace with people. We never know how much time we have to bring the love of God to others. For some people, this might be their last day. We don't know. Growing up, I spent a lot of time on the Jersey Shore with families from New York City. Each and every year, we'd go to Long Branch, New Jersey, and we'd either rent a home or have a hotel room for the week or 2 weeks, sometimes even 3 weeks. It was a beautiful getaway, and we all enjoy it. There was a family who came with us and stayed with us every year. Wonderful family. And the father was one of five brothers. Somewhere in those years, he and his brothers had some disagreements, some challenges, and walked away from relationships. Years later, the first brother died, and at the funeral, there was no conversation. Over the years, all of the brothers had passed. And at each and every one of the funerals, the children of the brothers spoke to each other and didn't understand why they hadn't seen each other or what the argument was all about that their fathers had been, you know, placed with, and which was the cause of the separation of families. But those five brothers took that separation and that pride to the grave. They did not make the peace. They did not have the humility to say, please forgive me. I was wrong. I love you. They did not have the humility as men to make things right. And this is an important attribute that God calls us to, because without humility, it's almost impossible to forgive from the heart. Oh, yes, someone can say, you know, I was wrong, but not mean it. It's got to be meant. It's got to be true. It's got to be honest and sincere. Then you can create a new relationship once again that's based on honesty, sincerity, respect, to create trust. It's important, and God calls us to forgive others, but to not hold grudges like some people do. So if you're out there today and you're thinking about forgiving someone but have not taken the steps to do it, I encourage you to be inspired through the Holy Spirit today and to take those steps, to pick up the phone and make that call, to make a visit to send a letter of forgiveness and acknowledge other people as being important, because God lives within all of us. And the Lord says this, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. And the other side of that is, and he makes it clear, whatever you did not do for the least of my brothers, Joe Montone, you didn't do it for me. I want you to think about that. We have opportunities each and every day to forgive others. And during the season of Lent, as we prepare for Holy Week coming up next week, and the great passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, please take the time to gather yourself in a humble way and to forgive others. It might be a parent. It might be a brother or sister. It might be a child. It might be a friend or coworker. But please take the time to make things right, to bring the peace. And don't let it go by the wayside and get so busy that another year will pass. This is important. And I'll just tell you that we all have to forgive someone at some point in our lives. We're called to do it. And God calls us. When the apostle said, but Lord, how many times must I forgive someone? Seven times? And he says, I say to you truly, seven times 70. So the Lord basically makes it clear that we have to forgive others many times. Nobody knows the number. Do you think the Lord is counting how many times he's forgiving me? We have, you know, tremendous unconditional forgiveness from the Lord, but he does want us to make changes so we gain wisdom and learn from it and go the right way. Like St. Paul, the persecutor of Christians, a great warrior, to do the wrong thing to Christians, God knocked him off his horse, made him blind for 3 days, and then gave him his eyesight back. It's powerful. Gave a new opportunity, became a warrior for the Lord, wrote 13 books of the Bible. St. Paul, a great warrior for Christianity, to please God, to put a smile on his face, to help him to get the respect that is due, that he earned. It's important. And as we mentioned St. Paul, my friends, we're going to segue into our next reading from the book of Hebrews, written by St. Paul. And here it is today. In the days when he was in the flesh, Jesus offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord. This is important, and St. Paul makes it clear. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And we too learn obedience through suffering. People change. They gain wisdom. And working in prison ministry for many, many years, I've seen inmates humbled because of incarceration. I've seen men and women in recovery humbled because the loss of a driver's license, no longer able to drive, the loss of a family, where family members walk away, kick you out, don't want to talk to you, creates great suffering to have a restraining order against you, not being able to see your wife or children because of your hostile ways at home, because of your anger. But we too learn obedience through suffering. And we've seen many men incarcerated who have suffered. Many years ago, I worked with an 18-year-old young man who went out on a Saturday night with a friend with a gun in Philadelphia. And their mission that night was to rob someone. And they chose an elderly man. And they put a gun to him. And they threatened him. And the only thing they got from this man was a cell phone and a $20 bill. And I just tell you that because they really got nothing from this man. Within 20 minutes, these two boys were picked up around the corner and were arrested. And I met the mother of this one young man, and she said to me, "My son has a problem." And she told me about it. And now he thinks his life is over. So I went to their home while he was out on bail. And I talked to him for several hours. And I told him, "Your life isn't over because of one mistake. God's given you opportunity to make changes, to gain wisdom, and to not do what you did next Saturday night. Think about it. But there are consequences for what you've done. But we're going to prepare now for court coming up in several months. We're going to prepare you for court. And we're going to get you enrolled in college. What do you want to do with your life?" And we talked about it and discussed it. We got him enrolled in the Community College of Philadelphia. And he was taking several courses there. We got him into church with his grandmother and his mom. We got him away from some of the friends he was hanging out with, and this boy had no record, but was going along for the ride with this other boy on a Saturday night. And a lot of us have been there. But we talked about it, and I told him, "Your life isn't over, my friend, because of one mistake. You've got another good 50 to 60, 70 years of good living. But there will be consequences." And we put him into community service and documented everything. And when it came time to go to the court, we had a document for the judge and a letter of support showing everything he had done in the last 90 days. And the judge said, "You know, this is all good stuff, but you will have to serve some time." And he ended up at the House of Corrections in Philadelphia, on the same block that I was holding the WINGS program. And that boy entered the WINGS program on the inside. And he told me this: "I cry every night." And he had been in there for a few weeks at the time when I first saw him. And he told me, "I cry every night." When you're living in a 6x9 cell with someone you don't know, and you can't come out until the officer tells you to come out, you can't take a shower, you can't watch television, you can't go for your meals until the officer tells you you can. And he suffered, and through suffering, he learned obedience. And after 6 months, he came home. And he learned how to avoid friends who are taking you down the wrong path. Very great message today. And the Lord tells us truly, again, that through suffering, we learn obedience. And we've all been there. The Lord became perfect and became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. In the last program, we discussed eternity, the gift of a lifetime, and it's given to us freely. No one can earn it from doing works, so you cannot boast. It's in the Word of God, and it's given to us freely But the Lord paid a great price. And we'll be reminiscing that next week in Holy Week. And as you relive the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary, those five events, the agony in the garden, scourging at the pillar, the crowning of Jesus with thorns, the carrying of the cross, and the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he paid the price. Eternity is there for us. We can't earn it. It's free. God gives it to us. It's a gift of a lifetime. But let's be clear. The Lord paid the price. He paid the tab. He paid the bill. And for those non-believers out there who don't believe in the Lord or anything that he did, eternity is not available, because we must believe in the Lord Jesus wholeheartedly, not half-hearted, but wholeheartedly, to be entitled to that gift of eternity, eternal life with the Lord and his Father, the Father of all mankind. So we have to believe, but he says, we have to obey him. Jesus became perfect and became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Obedience is a very, very important word. Okay? We have to be obedient. We have to be loyal. We have to do the right thing to get those blessings of obedience and to get eternity, which the Lord gives us freely. Let's move forward, my friends, into the Gospel of John. And remember, there are only four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Very powerful. And the Gospel of John says this. Now there were some Greeks among those who had come up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. And the Father will honor whoever serves me." And the Lord says, "I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven and said, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered him and said, "The voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death that he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says today in the Gospel of John, my friends, that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour has come. The life, death, and resurrection of Christ. So powerful an event that world time is based on that event. And the Lord tells us, whoever loves his life loses it. Because if you love your life more than God, it's a problem. The Lord says, whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Think about it. Eternal life, once again mentioned, preserving your life for eternal life, being focused on preparation for eternity. The Lord says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. And the Father will honor whoever serves me. Imagine being honored, you and I honored by our Father in heaven. Imagine the Father of all mankind, the Creator of heaven and of earth, honoring us. Imagine that. And the Lord says, again, whoever serves me must follow me. Are we serving the Lord? Once again, we have that opportunity train that comes each and every day. And the Lord calls us to do it, to be one with the Lord as a servant. But not to be always the king of the hill, but to be in the trenches, getting things done, helping the people. The Lord calls us to do it. When you were sick, I came to visit you in your home or in a hospital. When you were incarcerated and in prison, I came to visit you and spend time with you, to talk to you, to get to know you. When you were lonely, I offered words of comfort, inspiration. Think about it. When you were hungry, I gave you food. When you were thirsty, I brought you drinks. What are you doing for other people, my friends? Again, the Lord says, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. Is it an I and me mentality in your home? Or is it an us and we mentality? Like the missionaries of charity and Mother Teresa. Many years ago, before I formed the nonprofit organization, My Father's Vineyard, in May of 2001, I went up to see how Mother Teresa's sisters live up in North Jersey at one of their homes. And the sisters had invited me in, and I had a chance to see how they live, see how they pray, see their quarters where they actually reside. One of the things I noted that in the bedroom were two single beds, and in between the beds was a bucket of water. They own nothing in the world except two saris, two gowns. The bucket of water was to wash them out and hang them in the closet. Everything they owned at that home belonged to everyone. Because, she said, here we have an us and we mentality, not an I and me. Us and we, it's ours. We're in a society today where there's a lot of greed, my friends. There's a lot of selfishness in people's homes, in corporate America, in the stock market. There's a lot of greed in this society throughout the world. I could talk for weeks on that. Stories that are true. The Lord loves a generous giver. That's who we need to be. And it takes time and humility to give to others. We do whatever we can. And I'm not talking about writing the check. but bringing the love of God to other people first and foremost, and then to do what we can with our time, our talents, and our financial means and capabilities. Whatever we can to help the church and to help other people. To be accountable, reliable, and dependable to the Lord first and foremost. And then to ourselves and to our families, to our friends, to our co-workers. To offer the best we have as a human being each and every day. To strive to be the best. And the Lord tells us that's what we want to do. Strive to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Those are not words that we ignore. They're words that we want to live out. And it's challenging because we are human beings. Within us is jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, pride, prejudice, the superego, many negative things that breed division. Our goal is to breed unity through generosity and compassion and patience and understanding. To breed unity by bringing the love of God, the peace of God, through the Word of God to other people. As often as we can. And God calls us to do it. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet, to speak out, to bring good words, to bring love through your words and actions to other people, to your husbands and wives, to your children, to your parents, to your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers. And there's no limit on that. It's all freely given from us to other people. If we're within the grace of God. By the grace of God, we have those opportunities to give the love of God to other people. Without God's grace, those inspirations are lost. We have separation from God through sin. Venial, mortal, actual sin. Our job is to get right with the Lord, and there's no better time to do it than today. But you've got to make that decision. You and I have to make that every day. And the Lord says in this passage, "I am troubled now." Imagine the Lord himself being troubled. "Yet, what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour." The Lord was born for this mission. And it all began with our Blessed Mother Mary. And in the Gospel of Luke, you see that reading where the angel Gabriel comes to Our Lady and said, "Mary, God has found favor with you. You will bear a son, and his name will be Jesus." And she said, "Be it done to me according to your word. I am the handmaid of the Lord." She said yes to serve the Lord. To give birth to the Lord, imagine. To raise him, to love him, to protect him in his life. And she was there in his life and at the foot of the cross. She saw it happen and in his death. But she saw and served the Lord. And as a result, the Lord said, "Those who serve me, my Father will honor." And Our Lady, our Blessed Mother Mary, is honored today because she has served her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and God our Father. Let's be clear. Our Blessed Mother was there. And the Lord goes on to say this. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The Father of all mankind. Now is the time for judgment on the world. And my friends, we are in a world of trouble. We have many things that are going on in our world today, and many of them go against what God says to do and are lined up with what God says not to do. And that is not a side of the equation we want to be on. We want to be on the side that says what God says to do, so we can get those blessings of obedience and being God's grace, and then have eternal life. Like St. Paul, who said, I fought the good fight, I ran the good race, now the crown awaits me. It's very important. And the Lord goes on to say this, now the ruler of this world will be driven out. We know that Satan is there each and every day. In our greatest weaknesses, in our temptations, he is there orchestrating many things that are displeasing to God today, and people are following him. Our job is to counter that with goodness, and through the love of God and the word of God and the peace of God, we will continue with that fight. And the Lord said, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. The Lord makes it clear today, my friends, in the Gospel of John, that the hour has come when the Son of Man is to be glorified. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's not forget what the Easter season is all about. Resurrection Day is coming. It's our job to be the best that we can be for the Lord and his Father. He paid the price. He's given us a free gift of eternity, but we have to believe in him and we must obey him, as it says in the Word of God. My friends, we're out of time at this point. I want to thank you for listening in. My name is Joe Montone, your host. I want to thank Dale and Jane, our founders, and God bless them for, again, another great 22 years coming up. We pray for this station. We want to thank Frank and Carolyn, our producers of this show and many shows, Frank Elias, and for all the good work he does here at the station. Again, God bless you and your families. Have a wonderful Lenten season. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless.